This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, May 1st, 2009. I'm Caleb Brown. Chrysler is entering bankruptcy, but for a company that's been bailed out by the government multiple times, the question must be asked, why now? Why not 30 years ago? And why not 6 months ago? Dan Eikenson, Associate Director of the Cato Institute Center for Trade Policy Studies, explains.
Yeah, it should have happened from the outset. To a certain extent, bankruptcy is stigmatized in the United States. Most people think bankruptcy means liquidation. That is one form of bankruptcy. And the concern, I think, was that in the bankruptcy process, nobody was going to buy cars from Chrysler. Well, nobody's been buying cars from Chrysler anyway on account of the bad economy and account of the products it has to offer. The fact that it was portraying itself willingly as sort of a ward of the state, dangling by a string, it's hard to distinguish from it being in bankruptcy. And in fact, being in bankruptcy at least suggests, when it's defined properly, that they're trying to do something about their problems and that they could come out. The Obama administration offered a plan. The auto task force was working with stakeholders to try and come up with a plan that all could agree to move forward. Some of the stakeholders didn't like the terms of the plan, understandably. Some of the bondholders didn't want to receive 29 cents on their investment dollar, particularly in light of the fact that other stakeholders, for example, the UAW, was going to walk away under this plan with 55% ownership stake in Chrysler, a company that the government is implicitly and explicitly backing. So that could be a pretty good investment. So because some of the stakeholders held out, and as a result, were demonized by President Obama in a speech today as only looking out for themselves. I know that's hard for some people in the administration to understand, but that's why bankruptcy started. It was the only option to keep Chrysler moving toward resolving its financial woes.
For Chrysler, the problems have been coming for 30 years.
They were on the verge of bankruptcy back in the late 70s. They were offered a bailout back then by the government. It was a much smaller amount of money. And they were able to turn things around. And a lot of pro-bailout voices suggest it's worked before, let's let it happen again. But we're talking about a lot less money back in 1979. And we're talking about a time when there were far fewer competitors in the market. So there's absolutely no guarantee that Chrysler will be successful. Had this plan with the Obama plan been inked, or even coming out of bankruptcy, the terms of which we don't really know exactly what will be at this point. Management has made very bad decisions over the years with respect to the vehicles it produces. Part of those bad decisions I would attribute to government policy. Fuel efficiency standards, average fleet efficiency is so high that these companies, Chrysler and the other companies, are forced to produce products that are too expensive for people to want to buy, and that undermines the profitability. The other problem I would attribute to management is that they've capitulated too easily to union demands. Chrysler has operated very inefficiently. Very high average labor costs relative to the transplants that have come here from Japan and Korea and Europe, most notably.
What are the options under bankruptcy that Chrysler is pursuing?
Under the law, the company, management, can present a plan for restructuring, and a judge can preclude alternative plans for the first, I think, 18 months. There is a plan that Chrysler is going to put forward from what we're hearing, at least from the rhetoric coming out of the administration, and that is the plan, by and large, that the administration has been helping to work out. And that involves converting debt to dollars, and that was one of the sticking points. Because the majority of the debt is held by banks that are taking money under the TARP. So I think with the Obama administration pushing this plan, they didn't have much leverage to push back, and they said, okay, we'll accept 29 cents on the dollar. But the hedge funds, who aren't subject to those kinds of strings, asserted themselves a little bit and said, wait a second, we can do better than this. particularly in light of this other plan to give the unions 55% ownership. The big thing here is Fiat has an interest, the Italian automaker, in taking an equity position, probably 20% for starters, and it could grow, provided that production happens here. The U.S. government is going to bankroll the bankruptcy process. In other words, they will provide cash to Chrysler while it's in bankruptcy. And my understanding is they're planning to provide cash to them once they emerge from bankruptcy if X amount of production stays in the United States so that we avoid the dreaded leakage, which we've been so concerned about. When we're Keynesians, we also think government spending money should only benefit American taxpayers, as though when money leaks outside of the borders, it's not going to provide us any benefits. There's a lot of madness here. It's possible that the bankruptcy judge will look at the Obama plan and accept it, and there won't be too much deviation from that plan. But it's also possible that some of the stakeholders that ostensibly agreed to the Obama plan, now that they're in a non-political environment, presumably, are going to assert themselves a little more and demand more, and it might be more difficult to get an agreement. And quite frankly, if that's the case, I think that the GM plan, GM has an extra 30 days to get their deal done, that plan could be out the window and GM could go into bankruptcy. I mean, I think bankruptcy is the best option for these companies because the solution is generally produced in a non-political environment.
Dan Eikenson is Associate Director of the Cato Institute's Center for Trade Policy Studies. His most recent analysis, Audaciously Hopeful, How President Obama Can Help Restore the Pro-Trade Consensus, is available at cato.org.